This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Heather Cannon from Tampa, Florida, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 26th, episode 1346. Good morning, Horse World.
And it's rodeo time, ladies. Let's ride.
It's Women in Rodeo Tuesday with Heather Cannon, where it's Ladies Day every day.
It's the rodeo show, rodeo show. Come on out to the rodeo. You got your wild, wild west. Kick it up, kick dust. Work real hard. Yeah,
well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning. Welcome back, Heather.
Welcome. I'm so excited to be back.
Heather is here the fourth Tuesday of every month. I don't know why we have Thursday in the show notes. Is it Thursday or Tuesday? It's Tuesday, right?
It's Tuesday.
Yeah, I don't know why we have Thursday in the show notes. But were you ever on a Thursday?
No, never.
I don't know why we have that. So it is. Heather is here the fourth Tuesday of every month. And we've been doing this a while now.
I was trying to remember what the first month was. Do you remember? Was it August?
Has it been a year?
No,
not quite a year.
No, but, not a year.
But I got to tell you, I've been getting good feedback. People are enjoying because, you know, our audience has mostly heard about English stuff or the general world of horses. We haven't delved into rodeo or the Western side a whole lot. So they're really enjoying learning about the Western side of things.
Awesome. I'm glad to bring a little spice and something different to
Heather's
it.
Heather's bringing a horn to the show. And full chaps. Well, we have a fun show planned for today. Jennifer's going to tell us about it.
On today's Women in Rodeo Tuesday edition, that's right, Tuesday, brought to you by Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo, Lorinda is going to stop by first thing with the latest news from the circuit, and then world champion barrel racer Callie is going to give us a look at what life is like as a world champion. And then Jennifer Green tells us about the Manatee County Cattlemen's Association. So stay tuned for the parade, folks.
See, Jennifer did an old trick in radio that you learn, and that is if you don't know how to say the last name, you just say the first name.
I caught on to that.
Right.
Yep.
So Callie's last name is?
I say Duperior, and I'm hoping I say it right. I've heard it said both ways, or a couple different ways. So we'll ask her today.
Okay, all right. See, that's an old radio trick. I use it all the time because I'm the worst at pronouncing names, as the audience knows. Now, I saw a lot of pictures of you recently. I want to also ask you about Instagram, but I'll ask you about that in a minute because I saw a post on your Facebook page, and I don't know anything about Instagram, and I want to ask you about it because apparently it's becoming popular, and I'm supposed to be a geek, and I know nothing. So, but first, I saw some pictures on your Facebook page of your daughter with a cow.
Yeah, her dairy heifer. We just had our Manatee County fair, and it was actually our 100th fair. So it was themed the fair of the century. And she showed a dairy heifer and a hog all in the same week. So we are a very tired family right now.
I bet. So is that one of those where you sleep there and...
Well, you would love to, but no, we were back and forth between the house. I can remember when I showed at the same fair, there were times that you did spend the night, and that was kind of nice.
Yeah, right, but, exactly. They used to do that at the Pennsylvania Farm Show, too. Jennifer slept there many a night. She knows what that's like, sleeping with
it's so much fun because you don't have to go to school.
And typically, my girls do go to school during the fair. But I tell you, me, with Darren's work schedule, he just wasn't able to help during the week. So it was just me. It was mom all by herself. And between getting a hog and the dairy heifer ready, we had a show every night that week. I did end up letting her stay home that Friday. I was tired. She was tired. It was a lot of work and mom needed help. So
there you go. Mom was tired. Kid stays home.
Yep. Yep.
So. How'd she do?
She did good. It was her first year showing a dairy heifer and she was fourth in her class for the show night. And that was where the judge is judging the heifer herself. And so she did really good with that. And then she was second in her class for showmanship. And that's where the judge is looking at how well you present your animal and how well you handle your animal. So for her first year, I was really impressed.
Do they jump them, ride dressage?
No, bucking bulls, no nothing like that.
No, okay. All right. So for those people out there going, how exactly do you show a cow? What do they look for?
So now I'm very green because this was our first year. So when you go in, this is for our, I don't know if judges are different in different areas of the country or what, but our judges are looking for a kid that knows how to walk the animal very slowly so they can really get a good look at it. You make sure you have the heifer's head held up. You want to create a straight line across their back. And if your animal doesn't have a straight line, they want to see that you know how to maneuver that animal to make it look better. So lifting the head, you can reach back and kind of touch your heifer on her back and she'll lower her back. Or if she looks a little too sway back, then you reach underneath her belly and poke her and she'll lift her back up. So they're looking to see if you are recognizing the things that need to be fixed on your animal. And that's the most I learned this year. So, and then setting them upright. So their front feet.
So if they poke them in the belly and the heifer bucks and leaves town, that's not good.
No, it's not.
No. Okay. Did that happen? Did you have any do that this year?
We had some that acted up a little bit, not really bad. The steers, usually they're the ones they can get pretty rank sometimes, but we didn't have any really bad heifers. I will say that I was very surprised and very proud of Savannah. Her heifer stood on her foot for about 10 minutes during show.
Oh, no.
Yes, and she could not get her off, and she held it together. And when I met her at the gate and took her from her to walk her, and she just busted out crying. And I thought it had just happened. I thought, oh, my gosh, she just stepped on her foot. And I get her to her show box and sit her down and give her ice, and she goes, no, Mom, that was 10 minutes at least while I'm standing in there, and the judge is looking at my heifer. She's standing on my foot. So she was quite the tough little cookie.
Was it all black and blue?
It was. It was bruised for sure, and her little pinky toe was swollen. So, yeah, she needs better boots next year for sure.
He had her first war injury.
Yes. Yes. So, and then we had her hog. So she showed.
Oh, she has pigs too?
Yes, she did a hog. And she was sixth in her class for the hog show. And she did not place for showmanship. The style for showmanship for hogs had changed quite a bit since last year. So we were kind of out of the loop on that and learned a lot that we can apply for next year. So,
very
okay.
Cool.
Now, how do you show a hog? Because I think this might be enlightening
to
some people.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, because cows, you can really train to do stuff. I've never seen a hog trained that well.
Well, you have to work with your hog.
Do stuff like do that little race at the fair, you know, the little
yeah, go real fast and run away from stuff. I get that.
Yes.
Well, I don't think they're looking for that. Yeah.
So you have to work with your hog with a hog whip. And the hog whip is only used to tap them around their jaws on each side of the head. And they get used to when you do that, you're driving them to go a certain direction. And so when
it's not whipping, it's just more of a tap.
It's tapping.
Yeah,
them.
It's just little taps. Yeah.
Yes. And so when you get into.
So they don't have a harness or a collar or
Nope. Okay. When you get into the show ring, your hope is that your pig doesn't hit that gate and run a million miles an hour around that ring, which we do see.
Do they all run?
Yes, sometimes, yes. Yes,
stampeding pigs.
And so your goal is to have the ability to drive that pig back and forth in front of the judge. And you're always, of course, making sure you're on the other side of your hog so that your judge has a great view of your hog. So there's some things to learn and skills to apply.
Now, when you show the and I guess it's a hog, not a pig, but the pig sounds so much cuter.
I say pig all the time.
When they show the pigs, do they all go into the arena at the same time, like cattle, or do
they?
The pigs
yeah,
go
they
in
have
one
them.
Time?
Yes, they have them broke down into classes, and you'll have I can't remember how many in the ring at the same time. You know, Jennifer, that's coming on later, the Cattleman's Queen. She is there in the ring for every one of the shows, and she may know the exact number on that. But yes, you have quite
but
a
they
few
show
kids.
The group.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then on sale day, of course, it's one at a time. And sale day is always interesting, too, to see them drive the hogs. By then, Even the kids that were kind of green coming in have watched the older ones. And when they get to sale day, you can see them, they've excelled and they're now doing better with driving their pigs too. I love it. I love every bit of it. So,
well, there you go. It's everything you wanted to know about showing pigs and cows. So, I still think that jumping class for the cow would be probably fun to watch. So now talk to me about Instagram. You posted that you reached a milestone with Women in Rodeo for Instagram. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So actually last night I came home and noticed that I had hit 20,000 connections. I don't like to say fans or followers. I say connections on Instagram. And that is just mind boggling to me. And that has happened within a year. So Instagram to me is the place to be. I get the most interaction there. You know, it's all about beautiful photos, but you can also make posts that are educational or inspirational that people really love. So it's my favorite. It's my absolute favorite social media.
How's it work?
Well, there's an app, so you can go and download
that. Yeah, I did that. I actually did that right before the show. So now I am on Instagram.
Okay. And so then you just need to take why don't you start with a selfie, Glenn?
Selfie. Let's see if I can figure out how to do a selfie. So I'm in Instagram and I see
post a horsey pic.
I see the little house down there.
Yes. So the one in the middle.
Yeah.
That's the one where you're going to go to upload a picture.
Oh, I see that. Okay.
And so then you scroll down and you pick your picture that you want to upload. And then you would hit next. And then it gives you filters. And I'll tell you something kind of funny. So for us women that post selfies, I'll see these young girls, they'll put hashtag no filter, right? This chick always has a filter. I want to put my filter has a filter. That's what my hashtag should be.
Okay, so I am. I got a picture of Jennifer here, which she's going to hate. I'm posting.
Hey, wait a minute!
Oh, it's not approved.
All right, so I picked the picture, and then I hit the. I just hit the arrow up there, upper right.
Yep, hit the next.
Okay, and now it asks if I want to do filtery stuff.
Yep, you can pick a filter.
Okay, well, we made her brighter. So there. So I made Jennifer brighter, and then hit the arrowy thing.
Yep, hit it again, okay, and now you can write in your caption.
Okay. So, all right. So I'll do that a while.
And then once you have people following your new page, you can tag people. You can put your location in there. The other thing I like is when I post to Instagram, I can go back to that post and upload it to my Facebook page. So it's like doing... It's working.
Does it happen automatically to upload to your Facebook page or
no? So I would make the post and then I would click that post and go back into it. And well, you can do it right here. Actually, you can. If you look back where it says write a caption, you can hit Facebook there too.
Oh, I did my first post. Now, who sees it? Only people that are following or is it public?
Yes, only people that are following you, unless you do a hashtag. If you put the hashtag in there, then it goes into a whole new feed for that hashtag. So you need to use hashtags that are relevant or create your own, like Women in Rodeo.
Well, I just did you personally. I don't know how to find Women in Rodeo. So you do a search?
Yes, you do a search. Go back to where you saw the little home button on the bottom.
Yep.
And then the thing right next to it is your search feature.
And by the way, everybody, you can play along at home if you like. If you're new to Instagram too. So why do you think Instagram has gotten is your most interactive? You have 20,000, almost 21,000 followers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know the answer for that. I think that it's because it's so easy to use. I think for me, there's a lot of people in the rodeo industry on here. I mean, even the rodeos themselves are on here. So I just think it's a really easy app and social platform.
Got it. And it's only pictures?
Yes, only pictures. Oh, no, video. You can do short videos too. Yes, but short ones. I think it's 12 or 15 seconds. And if you look at my homepage, I even have the link for our last show up there.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So, I'll have to figure out how to scroll through somebody's feed. Is it called a feed?
That's what I call it.
Okay.
Doesn't mean it's ripe. That's what I call it.
And people can comment on it and on your photos and all that. Yes. Can they share them?
You can. There's another app that's called the Repost app, and I repost people all the time.
Oh, you have It's a completely separate
app? It's another app, yes.
Really? Okay, so it's not built in.
No, it's not built in as of yet.
Got it. So now if I go in, you said I can actually take this and then share it on Facebook too?
Yes. Yeah, you have to work with your settings in Instagram to allow it.
Yeah, I actually signed in through Facebook. So, and that's one nice thing you can do. You don't have to have a separate account. You can actually sign in through Facebook. So right. I think I just shared it to my Facebook page.
Now you have to go see, because sometimes you have to change in settings which page you're sharing it to. It might have went to your personal.
Yeah.
So you can choose personal, your business page, if you go in settings.
Okay. Cool. Well, there's your Instagram lesson, everybody, because I don't think we've ever talked about Instagram on the show. You know, we've all started to get a little bit into some of the others, but I don't think we've ever done Instagram. So Periscope is something we've played with.
Yes, I need to use that more.
You know, the problem with Periscope, and this is where I have an issue with Periscope. When you do the Periscope, it gets lost. You know, 2 days later, it's gone. So, so the 20-some people watching you are the only ones that see it. And I often wonder if it would have been better had I just done a video and posted it to Facebook.
Well, somehow there's a way to pull that Skype video.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, the recorded version, there's an app for that.
Yes.
And the recorded version sucks. I mean, the quality is awful.
Right. So, for me, the problem is, you know, I live out in the middle of nowhere, and I believe that a lot of women in rodeo are going to have the same problem. I live in the middle of nowhere, and so I do not have Bright House or something, you know, to connect to. And so the live streaming eating up my data is my problem.
That's number one. And two, if you live out in rural areas, you need a good phone, a cellular connection to use Periscope. So 90% of the time we try and use it out here, it just doesn't connect because we don't have a good cell connection out here. So you're right. For people who live out rural or farms or whatever, Periscope you're better to do a video and then just upload it when you get home.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. I think that's one of the limitations of Periscope. However, I will say that during this blizzard, I was watching some people's Periscopes from up in the Northeast.
Oh, I wish I'd checked that.
And that was kind of funny because they were out walking around, you know, getting blown around. You couldn't see anything because the snow had completely covered the lens of the camera or phone. And
oh, my goodness. Well, I have to say, Darren and I, we had a quick business trip this weekend. We flew out to Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, by the way, that was crazy. You went out to Phoenix one day and came home the next.
No. We went Saturday and came home Monday.
Yeah, okay, still. So, yes.
But still,
yes,
I am exhausted. I am like zombie mode. But anyways, we flew into Atlanta, and I was quite nervous. You know, I didn't know how things would be when we got there. And we flew in, and it was flurrying, just light flurries. But by the time we got on our plane, it was full on snowing. It was a lot of snow. And we actually had ice on the plane. Like, I couldn't believe it. And then they scared me because they said we were going to de-ice the plane. They said, well, we're going to sit here for an hour because everything is so backed up. And then he comes back on and says, well, I think we're okay because I think the sun's taking care of the ice, so we're going to go ahead and leave. And I'm the girl that takes Xanax to get on the plane. And so I was in full panic mode. I'm like, no, we cannot take off.
So, I've been on the times. The one time we were in Lexington, I was flying out of Lexington, and that's a little airport, Lexington, Kentucky, and they had to de-ice us like three times because every time they de-ice us, by the time we got to the end of the runway, it had iced up again. So we had to go back.
Oh my gosh!
We finally had like the fourth time ended up taking off, but
oh gosh, no.
Yeah, the fun of traveling. All right, let's bring your first guest on.
We have Lorinda, former Soul Sister. Are you on with us, Lorinda?
I think she is. Hold on. Jennifer,
I'm
can't.
Here.
There she is.
Hey.
Hi.
Good morning.
How are you guys?
Great. So you are going to handle today, giving us some of the rodeo updates and then doing a little bit of talk about goal setting, correct?
Yes.
Why don't
we? I will.
Let's stop there. Heather, introduce her a little bit for new listeners.
Okay, so Lorinda was the former owner of Gypsy Soul, and she's still known as Soul Sister, and she is. She's having a segment now. We're giving her Women in Rodeo news for now. And actually, we had discussed, Lorinda, I hope I'm not jumping too soon, but discussed you coming on next month and co-hosting with me next month. Are you still on board with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, awesome. We have lots to talk about.
See, what I heard about that, Lorinda, is that I'm getting kicked out of my own show. That's what I took from that, is that I'm out. I'm no longer allowed to hang out with the women. Apparently, I said something I wasn't supposed to. So.
Oh, whatever.
You'll still be on for some time.
Hey, we've got wings, and we've got to spread them.
Hey, Lorinda, you have to keep her straight, though. I mean, it's difficult job. I have a difficult job here the fourth Tuesday of every month, keeping Heather on track. Her ADD kicks in. So that's going to be your job, all right?
We're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in trouble. We're going to be.
Yeah, because I heard your ADD is as bad as mine. So, you know.
Yeah. No. Sometimes I chase butterflies. It's okay.
What were we talking about?
Someday.
Oh, no,
squirrel.
Just kidding.
Squirrel.
Just kidding.
That's right. No, I think it's great. It's a great opportunity. Heather and I are definitely. Sisters from another mother, I guess you could say. I truly enjoy the show and what she's put together. So I think it's going to be really exciting. And with all the changes that have happened in my life, it's perfect timing. It's where I need to be.
Awesome. We were talking, you know, we both said we believe that the Lord had a hand in this and brought us together, and we feel very blessed. So we're excited.
Well, and I think too, I think for the show's benefit, for your show's benefit here once a month, I think it is good that it's supposed to be Women in Rodeo. And I think that it's good that it'll be all women actually. So, I'm gracefully bowing out.
Well, Glenn,
you are neither women nor rodeo.
No, I am neither. So,
but I have to say, Glenn, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you and for you taking me under your wing and get me to where I'm at, because I absolutely could not have done it without you. So, thank you so much, you and Jennifer both.
Yeah, you're a lot less nervous than when we first started this.
I think it's good for people to know that I'm nervous though, because I still get butterflies every time we do this. But I think that I'm moving through it better and I'm just as excited as I am nervous, and I love it. So
good. Very good.
Yeah. So Lorinda, okay. Go ahead. What do you have for us with rodeo news?
Well, you know, I didn't actually attend the first rodeo of the year. I had several friends go out to Odessa. I'm here in Texas, just in case anybody doesn't know that. And the first rodeo of the year was here in Odessa, Texas, which, you know, I know not only the top 15 make the NFR, but I just, you know, when one of my friends took off and went, I was just thinking, oh, we just had NFR and it's already time to start all over again. So, you know, I can only imagine. And then I'm sure a lot of people are anxious to get, you know, if they have a great horse or, you know, they're anxious to get back out on the road. But it's, you know, it was a great rodeo. Normally it's, you know, freezing and cold and icy and you don't know if you're going to be able to get there. And, you know, for this year, the weather was good here. So there wasn't any issues with, you know, getting in and out of Odessa, which is great, which it's, you know, I'm 4 hours. It's a haul just from here. But Jenna Bean won the barrel race on her Big Sorrow horse, Hammer, which that's the same horse she ran at the NFR. So that's really exciting for her. You know, some people get mad when you say this or whatever, but, you know, we do believe, as you know, there were more runs on the ground got faster. Some girls say, some girls don't say, and the ground was a lot better, than it has been in years past. So I think we're off to a great start, for the barrel race, this year and the first rodeo.
Well, awesome. Congratulations to Jenna Bean. That's awesome. Yeah, I don't know how they pick right up and just keep on going like that. I would need to sleep for a while.
Yeah. But I think about it as, you know, when, you know, I love running barrels and it's been a side passion of mine, but I mean, I have friends that, it's even a deeper passion. And if that's what you love to do, you know, like I'm, you know, Fallon, it's, you know, killing her being home, you know, healing up on her knee, you know, and she can't, she's not on the road and can't be going. I mean, it's just, it's almost just got to be as painful not to be able to go and do what you want to do, you know, when you're
sick. And you kind of get addicted
to go.
You kind of get addicted to being on the road in general, don't you? I mean, they whine about being on the road and want to go home, but also they're kind of addicted to being on the road.
No, that's what, when I used to be on the road a lot, many years ago. And I would come home, you know, I'd be like, I'm ready to go home. Well, once I got home and got all my affairs in order and my dry cleaning done and the house, you know, like go through my whole little process, I didn't know what to do with myself because I would be like, okay, it's time to leave. Let's load back up and go. So, you know, I was gone 47 weekends out of the year. So it was crazy to even be if I was home for any length of time. And then literally one day I woke up and went, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. And I didn't. But when, you know, there's a time, you know, my mother-in-law is a sales rep for a brand, and she, you know, for years, she comes home for X amount of time and then she's gone. So you do, it just becomes a part of your life, a part of your process of you know, what you do. So
you have to be comfortable living in a 10 by 10 space in your living quarters.
Well, most of the people that live on the road, I think it's bigger now.
Yeah, they're big.
Yeah.
They're quite big.
I love, you know, the fad of tiny homes. And I'm like, we've been doing tiny homes for forever.
That's true. Horse people have been living in tiny homes, tiny, tiny homes for a long time. And they don't look anything like those fancy ones in the TV show either. It's like,
Well, I honestly think some of the ones that they're making now, like I, you know, did one for NFR for Bloomer and Outlaw Conversions. And some of the homes, I'm like, why don't they just buy a Living Quarters horse trailer? It's a better investment. You can move it really easy and you have more space and great storage. So it's, you know, because I watch that all the time and it's comparable, but it's crazy. So Heather, have you been working on your goals for 2016?
Absolutely. So as we go into this segment, I wanted to say that when I started Women in Rodeo, one thing I wanted to make sure that we were giving was an educational piece so that we were adding value and people had something to take with them. So I'm excited to finally start putting some of those things in place. And Lorinda has put together some goal setting information for you guys. And I know I posted recently about sitting down finally and setting my goals for 2016. So what do you have for us, Lorinda?
Well, you know, everyone going into the new year, you know, they have their New Year's resolutions. And I'm kind of a Debbie Downer on even having a New Year's resolution, because most people don't even keep them. It's just, you know, it's like a process you go through, and which it's great that there's a process and people just do it. But I just feel like so many of those things don't happen. And, you know, I really wanted to, you know, put myself in this place of, you know, where do I want to go? Where do I see myself, especially with all the changes in my career over the last 90 days? You know, it's been a major upside down and shake it around kind of world lately. And, you know, so how do I get myself back on track? And how, you know, I can't tell people what to do if I'm not walking in those steps myself. And, you know, I just really started thinking about, you know, what was important to me and where do I want to be tomorrow? What, you know, what am I unhappy with about myself that I could better myself? And where do I want to be in a year and in 5 years? And, you know, and it's hard to look at when people are like, well, you need to set, you know, 5 and 10 year goals. Well, I had 5 and 10 year goals and they have been, you know, the slate has been completely changed, which is, you know, I'm happy about, and then I'm going forward and moving forward and excited. But the biggest thing is adjusting to change. But, you know, I just sat down, I went, and I have a ton of cute little journals that have been gifted to me as I was cleaning out my office. And I put those aside, and there was one that a friend had given to me that had a great quote on the front. And so I took that book, and every day, you know, I just kind of I've been jotting down some thoughts, and then, over a couple weeks, I've looked over those thoughts, and I've, put together where I want to go, what I want to do. And some people are going to be more direct on, I want to buy a new house, I need a new car, whatever that goal may be. But I really think the first step in really living your dreams or setting your goals is you've got to write them down. You have to make them real. When you write them down and go back and read them, it makes them real. And it's almost, when you write them down, subconsciously, I feel like you start taking the steps to making it happen. And it's, it may not happen right away. It may be 5 years from now. But because you wrote it down, you're taking that first step. And so many people, just want to think about it and then their next thought is, that'll never happen. That's not going to happen to me. Well, you deserve to have a great life and you deserve to have your dreams come true. Yes, you're going to have to do the work to make it happen, but you deserve it. And every person should, want to fulfill that. But you need, go to whatever stationery store or whatever store you want to go to. I mean, Target has great, cute little books. And, take pride in that book and keep it with you. And when you have a thought or something, write it down. And then, maybe in a couple of weeks, regroup and organize your thoughts of what your goals, might be. And it is crazy, Heather. I have a journal book that I've had for over 20 years. And I took it out the other night after, we talked about me speaking on this. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy the things that have happened. Because you get busy with life, and I've always been pretty diligent about, if I see something I want to do, I go do it. And
right.
One way or another. But I have those fears of, what if that never happens or what, just like anyone else. And when I started reading, some of my goals, I'm like, oh my goodness, this has happened. This has happened, even the type of person, I wrote down before I even met my husband, 20 characteristics I wanted in a man. And it had nothing to do with looks, characteristics. And my husband is every single one of them. And
wow.
It was almost shocking.
There is power in self-talk. So whether it's writing down positive thoughts or keeping negative self-talk in your head, there's power in that. And so,
yes, and
that's amazing.
Yes, yeah.
Yep.
Yes. And I do believe, it's okay to be crazy in your dreams. Crazy.
Absolutely.
Crazy is what makes things awesome. Being normal and just doing what is the nice way or just the plain Jane way isn't going to get you the results you want. Put some crazy in those dreams.
I'm going to jump in for 1 second and say something that I've learned over the years. As you sit down, especially if you're a businesswoman, as you sit down and you're setting these goals, I think it's important to define what success is to you. So yes, I want to have a prosperous business, but success to me also means that I am being a good wife and a good mother as well. So, define what that is and, make sure that if you have these outrageous goals, as I do, that you are involving your family in those goals so that they are well aware of what the next year is going to bring.
Well, the other thing too, is as you get, as time goes along, they will change. And it's not a bad thing that they change. Well, as you get older, they change, your priorities change, your goals change all the time. And I think some people that I've run across along the way they've wanted to stick to that goal no matter what. And you will fail if you do that. You have to change.
You have to be willing to change. Right. For instance, me, I started out with Country Girl Glitz, and I literally last week said, okay, Women in Rodeo has really blossomed. This is really where I need to put my love and support. And I've let Country Girl Glitz go. It didn't turn out to be what I had wanted it to be. And I'm okay with that. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs find themselves reinventing themselves every 2, 3, 4 years. And that's just the nature of the beast. Mm-hmm. So,
No, no, it's change is, as you go through your career, change is the number one thing you need to adapt to, and you need to accept it because it's going to happen.
I think this is the longest business we've ever had. Sports Radio Network.
And you have an awesome business.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what I believe that 100%. And Heather, touching back on your what your goals are and how it affects your family. That is so true. I have, my daily goals of, as a mom, what I want to get done, with my kids and checking into their lives, because it's, if you're a very type A personality and a very driven woman, when I'm sure you're the same way, when you focus in on something, you're all 100%. And so you have to really find that balance, my day, with the change in my day, I didn't pick up my kids, when I was running Gypsy Soul. Now I pick up my girls every day at 3:15. So my day totally changes gears at 3:15, all day long until then. And then, and dinner, or we've got to go out and ride, and, working our horses may not be, I may have a plan that we're going to exercise our horses a certain way, but depending on the mood of my coming teenage daughters, we may end up just walking around the arena talking about their day because they had something bad happen, or they're struggling with something. So absolutely, you have to be able to change, and adapt to whatever may happen that day. Being a mother and a very driven business woman, being aware of all those signs around you. That's a huge thing to remember your family.
Absolutely. You need to love on your support system. So absolutely.
That's right. That's right.
Before we wrap up, let's get our listeners involved. What could we do? How about you guys go to the Women in Rodeo Facebook page or the Instagram page and give us a shout out. Tell us what your goals are or what you're struggling with. And, what else would you like to hear on this segment that you're struggling with that we could touch on for the next show? What do you think? Learned anything else?
Yeah, no, I think you are a huge inspiration, I think, to a lot of women, to say, hey, I'm going to have a radio show and to take that risk. So I definitely think that, ask questions, let us know what your dreams are. Let us all be a support system together, on where you want to go in your life, because the days are going to pass every day. So every day you could be doing a little something, to get you towards that goal, and, let us help you if you have any questions. I mean, we've all struggled with, things not coming together. So we're a support system. I definitely think reach
that's
out
right.
To
and I am one that's definitely not afraid to fail and fail forward. You just don't give up. You just keep going and just, like I say, wipe yourself off and saddle back up. Tomorrow's another
that's
day.
Right. Yep. That's right.
Well, thank
that's
you,
right.
Lorena.
Well,
that's
you guys
awesome.
For having me.
Yes, ma'am. You have a great day.
You too. Have a fabulous week.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, there you go. I was just thinking about it as she was talking, is I'm really good at the beginning of the year putting the goals down for the network for that year and putting them on my wall right in front of me.
Uh-huh.
And I have not done that yet this year. So she reminded me, I just put it on my list of things to do.
Yes, I did that last week. It took me a while to get to it this year, too.
Well, it's funny because life gets in the way, but yet she is right about writing them down. If you don't write them down, their chances of accomplishing them are less.
Yes, for sure. Totally. Yeah. Totally.
All right. So yep. I just put goal board on my list of things to do. And I've actually been doing really well with my daily activity sheet that this year that I've fallen down on in the past, because I just try and remember everything.
I haven't implemented that yet. You know what I have that's been really pitiful? I keep my my daily tasks on my notes section on my iPhone. And I'm like, okay, delete that one. That's done. And then I'm just
that's actually a good way to do it, because it's always with you.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So it's on my notes section on my iPhone.
It's always with you. It's a good way to do it. All right, let's get to our next guest. We have a world champion on the show.
Yes, we have Callie Superior, your 2015 world champion barrel racer. Good morning, Callie.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
Good.
Good. What time is it there?
It's 8:38 here.
Okay, so not too early. Good.
No, ma'am.
So I know I have talked to you since you won your world champion, but there are a lot of people probably listening that aren't familiar, did not know, because we have some people on the English side of things. So take us back to the NFR, to the moment that you won really quick, and just tell us, because first of all, I know that you did not realize you won it first when I asked you, but tell us how that felt and what all was going on at that moment.
Well, it's crazy. The last night I knew I had to keep the girls up to win the average. And so we didn't have the best run last night. Dylan kind of stumbled on the third, but I kept the girls up. So I knew I had won the average. And then I got to take the victory lap for the average and then take the picture with the saddle. And when I got off, they took me off the arena. And they're like, come do interviews. And then this lady was like, congratulations on winning the world. And I was like, wait, what? I actually won. And I was so shocked because I had no idea, because I knew it was going to be really close, but I hadn't like ran all the numbers. And so I started crying and I was like, well, I have to call my dad. And then I didn't have my phone. So
aww.
It was definitely crazy, but it was awesome. The feeling was just unreal.
I cried several times with you. First, when I saw that you won, and then again, when I was in the back and your dad came in and seeing him get teary-eyed, I just, because I know your dad's probably like my dad. They don't cry very often. So I stood there and cried too. And I had to walk away for a second and compose myself. So that was a pretty awesome moment to witness.
It was very awesome. I'm just really glad all my family was there to be there when it all happened.
Right. So how did you feel coming in as a new celebrity and having all those people interviewing you? What was that like? Is that surreal?
It was crazy. I'm not very good at interviews, so I was like, okay, you're going to have a lot of stuff to do, so you better start getting good at it. But it was awesome. It was fun to get to talk to everybody.
Oh, good. So I'm really, really curious. What is it like once you are the world champion? Does the PRCA, they send you out on a media tour? What all do you do for them once you win?
Well, just pretty much that night at the NFR, you have all that stuff to do. And then, you get your saddle. And then you actually, when you get your buckle, you send it back because they don't have the name on it yet. So you send the buckle with the Montana silver and they engrave your name in it and then they'll send it to you in the mail. But other than that, nothing really. A couple people call here and there to do interviews, and our local like newspaper and news show came to the house to do some interviews. But I don't think we're really like required to do a whole bunch of stuff.
So. Do the girls, when you go to shows all next year, do they have to bow when you walk in? No.
No, sir.
No? Okay.
No.
That's too bad. I mean, we should initiate that. That'd be fun.
Now, I saw you had a sweet little piece of fan mail from, was it a little girl that sent you that? Did I see that? Was that on your Instagram? That was
yes,
so
ma'am.
Sweet.
My little sister is into, she has like my little fan page on Instagram and Facebook. And so one day she told me, and she's like, get your back number and take a picture with it. And like my printouts that I was signing at the NFR. And she's like, I'm going to post it on Instagram and whoever comments, we're going to send them one. And I was like, okay, that's a good idea. And so first she put something like the top 5 comments get an autographed picture. And so then we got more than 5 comments. And I told her, I was like, there's no way I can leave all these people out. Let's just do all of them. So there ended up being like 30 something. So it was cool. I sent all those out. And then Lydia was getting a bunch of like direct messages. And so some girl messaged her and was like, hey, does Callie have like a fan mail? Where could we send her some? And so Lydia gave her my address and she sent it. And I think like Kara something. She's really sweet. And so she made this little card and I read it and I was like, oh, this is so awesome. And so I wrote her back. And so it's been cool. It's awesome to know
that's
little
really
girls
cool.
And even girls my age to look up to me, and they think that me and Dylan are awesome and stuff. So it's really neat to have a bunch of fans.
Oh, and then you're a great role model. So that's wonderful. Very, very good.
Oh, well, thank you.
So you had, first of all, what'd you do for Christmas? You went on a skiing trip, didn't you? Something like that?
Yes, ma'am. My family and I and one of my best friends went on a skiing trip to Colorado, and it was a lot of fun. Well, very for me, good. It was fun. My little sister actually tore her ACL. So
oh, no.
It was not the skiing trip she was expecting.
Oh, no. Is she recovered from that? That takes a long time, doesn't it?
Well, yes, ma'am. Well, no, it's actually a real, I think she like tore it in half. So it's a pretty bad tear. She's going to have to get surgery. And so, her club volleyball just started. So she's kind of down on herself right now. But I told her, I'm like, you're young. You'll be recovered in no time. So
that tickles me because you're young too.
Says the sister who didn't break her leg, right? You know?
I know. I tell her that, but I'm like, that would probably hurt really bad. I felt bad because she's kind of like not a baby, but she is kind of like she over exaggerates sometimes. And so when we were actually on a skiing trip and she was complaining about her, like I was like, "You didn't do anything, you're fine."
Oh, and then it was
ACL, so I felt really, really bad.
Oh, well, I'll tell you a mess up that I did as a mom. I did the same thing to poor Savannah. We were in the bank one time and she was little and she decided she was going to pitch a fit. And I was holding her hand and we're standing on tile floor. Well, she decided to throw herself down and I did not let go of her because I was afraid of her hitting her head. Well, she kind of twisted her arm a little bit when she fell to the floor. And she cried and cried and cried. And then she acted better. We got home. And then I thought, you know, she cried a little bit more. And I thought, well, she just knows she's in trouble. Well, no, it kept on and kept on. I took her to the hospital and she had dislocated her elbow.
Ew. Oh, my goodness.
I felt like the worst mother.
You're not the only mom that said, go out and play. Shut up and go out and play.
I'm like, you're exaggerating. And I'm like, oh, Fred, I feel horrible.
Oh, my gosh, so, that's crazy.
As her arm is dangling down and she can't move it.
Let me tell you, that was horrible. They said most of them are fixed when they go in to do an x-ray. So when they did the x-ray, the way they have to position the arm for the x-ray usually pops it back in, and that's exactly what happened. But it was horrible. I felt so bad for her. Just horrible.
I wonder how many people skiing. I wonder what percentage, like for every 100 people that go skiing, I wonder how many end up in the hospital.
I know. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, that's why I don't.
Probably a lot.
A lot. Yeah.
When we were in our little cabin, the cabin was like you could see the people skiing, and I was counting the little like stretchers that were going by, and there was a lot.
Oh wow!
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Not this girl. I would definitely end up in the hospital. So I know I've asked you before, but your wedding is getting closer and closer. When is your wedding?
May 7th.
Okay. May 7th. Can I ask some questions being America's horse husband? All right. I have to ask all the mandatory questions here, Callie. So is he a horse guy?
He actually isn't. He doesn't rodeo, but they have ranches and stuff and they have like trail riding horses, but he's not like the rodeo guy.
But he is a horse guy, so that's good.
Yeah, likes horses.
Now, were you looking for a horse guy or did he just happen to be somebody that came along? You would have taken a non-horse guy.
I actually wasn't. I was just, we actually met at college at Shiner University. And so we started dating and then just throughout my rodeo and stuff, he actually stayed with me and was okay with me being on the road for like two
I was going to ask you that. So. That was my next question. Does he have a hobby that he does while you're gone, for 364 days of the year?
He actually graduated from Shiner University and he owns a lumber yard in Galveston. So he is very busy with his lumber yard in Galveston. And whenever he could, he would try to like take off on like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and come to wherever I was. But it was definitely difficult. I would have to like schedule, okay, I don't have a rodeo here. I'll get a commercial flight here and then back. It was crazy.
So would you say how
he supported me the whole way?
Do you see him once a month to, twice a month or more than that?
Oh, yeah, probably 2-3 times a month, not a whole bunch.
Wow.
And then I'd have to also make time to come home to see my like mom and little sister and brother. So it was hard. I was like, okay, you go to my parents' house and then I can see all of you all at the same time.
This is much easier when you're single and don't have that hanging over your head, actually, right? The on the road thing.
Yeah, I would say so. And also a lot of the girls out there who are married, they married a rodeo guy, so they are out there with them and
traveling
like call with them.
And yeah.
So yes, it's very difficult to be out there without everyone that you want.
Yeah.
I have to say though, when we were in the media room, he seemed very, very like he's very supportive and he was so happy for you, just like your dad. They were both just gleaming. So yeah, I definitely see you have an amazing support system.
Yes, I do, for sure.
Very good.
And that's probably one of the biggest things you need, I think.
How important, I always get this question, especially we have a lot of teenagers that listen, so they want to know the answer. Your income, how do you stay on the road? Does it come from winning? Does it come from sponsors? Does it come from selling horses? You know, we talk about support systems. Well, financial is one of them, right? You got to buy gas and fuel's gotten cheaper, but you're still putting fuel in the truck. So, you know, where does it come from?
Well, definitely from sponsors and then your winnings, but it is definitely hard because you have no idea how much it costs until you go out there and just the fuel and then hay and feed. And even at home, when I take the horses to the vet and when they get their shoes done. So it's definitely expensive. But yes, sponsors definitely help with that. And then just winnings. But I mean, there's times when you're not going to win. And
I was just going to say, only a small percentage win of the girls that are on the road.
And so it's definitely sponsors and well, definitely my family because my dad helps and my mom. And so, and you have to make sure you're like, because I've even caught myself, it's really bad. Like, I'll go out and just like eat dinner out every night when I'm like, you can get groceries and even trailers. So it's just definitely just making sure you're aware that you can't just be like spending money like crazy out on the road.
Yeah, because it almost seems like you're in vacation mode sometimes and you catch yourself going,
definitely.
I'm not on vacation, I'm actually at work, you know, so.
Yeah, the rodeos will have all those like really pretty like booths.
Funnel cakes.
No, I don't know how you stay away from
that. How do you stay away from the funnel cakes every day? That's my question. I don't know how you do it.
I'm thinking
really
the jewelry and the boots.
Those are bad. I always want to go, but I'm like, no, you stay over here by your trailer and take care of Dylan.
So do the girls do the jeans test? When the jeans start to get tighter, they know they have to eat less junk food at the fairs?
Yes, definitely. Actually,
for me, for sure.
When I first got back from rodeo, this was before the NFR, I already got my wedding dress and I couldn't fit in my wedding dress.
Oh, no.
I was like, you are going to have to go on a diet. Because
too many funnel cakes.
That's
the best motivation,
He would want to go eat all over the place. And so when he was out on the road, I gained a lot of weight. And at Vegas, I lost it. So I just tried it on a couple of days ago. And I spent, so we're good.
Well, before we let you go, I want to know, we were just wrapped up a segment on goals. Have you set any goals? Do you have your goals set for this year?
Well, I'm just wanting to for sure get the wedding over with, but it is.
Let's rephrase that.
I know. I'm so stressed out. I feel like I don't have everything done. So definitely to get all that stuff done and have the wedding. And, I'm not really, this probably sounds bad to not say I have goals, but I'm going
to
try. I'm going
to
go
to have time with family.
I think when you're about to get married, there's one goal you have, and that's to get to that day, and I'll help you out here, to have a lovely day marrying the man of your dreams. Repeat after me. I'm going to have a lovely day marrying the man of my dreams.
I am going to have a lovely day marrying the man of my dreams.
There you go. Now I'll keep you. Now the wedding can go on instead of getting it over. I hope he doesn't listen to this. So, but you know, when you're a bride,
by the way,
that's the day.
He's on the show with us. Welcome to the show. Just kidding.
Yeah, she can do she can do all the goal crap after the wedding. Yeah.
Very true. Well, thank you, Kathy.
I kind of thought Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
It's been fun, Kelly. Take care.
Stay in touch.
Hey, congratulations, world champion. I'll bow when I meet you for the first time, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right. Bye.
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 That's funny. Get that day over with. I know that's not what she meant, but it came out funny. Oh, she's never coming back. You know that, right?
Yes, she will.
Maybe if you tell her I'm not on anymore, she'll come back on the show.
No, she'll come back on.
She's cute. We love her. All right, let's play a song. Tell us about, you found a new artist for us. Tell us about Mitch.
Yeah, Mitch Gallagher. I ran across him on social media. It's at least been a year ago, and I listened to some of his music on Spotify, and finally reached out to him and asked if we could play some of his music, and he said, of course, and he's quite excited. So this is one song that I really love, and I hope everybody else enjoys it too.
All right, and right after the song, we'll talk a little bit about the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo coming up. This is called One Day to Go.
If I got the news that my time was through, well, I don't know right offhand what I guess I'd probably do. I might call up all my buddies and play one final show. If I only had one day to go. And I'd hop in my old truck and take it nice and slow. One more drive down all the old back roads. I might just sit on the tailgate and watch the sun sink low. If I only had one day to go. I know this life is a fast one. One day you're here, the next day. And I know someday it's coming, but the truth is you just never know when you've only got one day to go. Well, I might call up my parents to talk over the phone and tell them that I'm finally coming home. Might search for inspiration or pray for my salvation. If I only had one day to go. I know this life is a fast one. One day you're here, the next day gone. And I know someday it's coming, but the truth is you just never know when you've only got one day to go. I know this life is a fast one. One day you're here, the next day gone. And I know someday it's coming, but the truth is you just never know when you've only got one day to go. You might only have one day to go.
Well, he was good. That's Mitch Gallagher. One Day to Go. You can find his music on iTunes. Just search for Mitch Gallagher, and he has a bunch of songs on there. We'll add him to the lineup to give us some variety here. I made it Heather's mission to find us some new independent artists that we can play on the show. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. You are listening to the Women in Rodeo episode here on Horses in the Morning, brought to you by the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo. Heather is here the fourth Tuesday of every month. So tell us about the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo.
Well, the RNCFR is the premier event that brings national championship rodeo to Kissimmee, Florida, April 7th through 10th, 2016. The Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo pits the circuit season and finals average winners against one another in the seven traditional rodeo disciplines. The annual event is held in Kissimmee, Florida at Osceola Heritage Park, and you should mark your calendars and join us for beautiful weather in Florida and rodeo action.
Is it Kissimmee or Kissimmee?
Kissimmee.
Kissimmee. I never knew how to say that. We've been going to Disney for years. For those that are wondering where Kissimmee is, it is literally right down the road, one road, right down the road from Disney. At one end is Disney, at the other end is Kissimmee. So that's it's the main drag there. So it's probably only 20 minutes from, right?
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
From Disney. So I'm hoping that we can get down there this year. You said it was in April, right?
Yes, yeah. The 7th through the 10th.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be fun to meet you and come down and watch for a little. We've never been to that rodeo, so that'd be fun.
Absolutely.
Very good. Well, let's... we don't have our next guest yet.
Okay.
She is still working on that. Now, you've been involved with this rodeo for how long?
Actually, I started working with them last year. I was doing some blog posts for them and went and did some interviews and some photography for them last year. And they are just a great group of people. And it is an amazing rodeo with great food. You'd love the food.
I will be there to test it. I will be trying it.
Yeah. And they usually have a lot of events centered around that rodeo, too. There's so much to do. And they do have a website. It's rncfr.com. You can go and check out everything that's going on.
Very good. So let's talk a little bit about Women in Rodeo. You started really building a brand. Now we're talking about business today a little bit. You started building a brand. How long ago?
Well, I started out 3 years ago as Country Girl Glitz, and that was really fashion related, but I wanted to have a blog that clients could read and fashion related. So my first thought was to reach out to Rodeo Queens. And so I did an interview style blog with Rodeo Queens. And from there it grew. Well, I love the rodeo. So I started reaching out to barrel racers. And before I knew it, I had really delved into the industry and decided that Women in Rodeo would be awesome, and jumped into creating a social media platform for Women in Rodeo last year, and it has really grown more than I ever thought. And so now my focus is 100% on the Women in Rodeo.
And I know it's grown a lot more than you had expected it to in the beginning. Was there a gap in the industry for a place, a community?
I believe online? There was for the women.
There's a lot about about rodeo, but specifically women in rodeo. Yeah.
Yes, I believe that they needed someone to shine the light on them and to give them a little bit more recognition than what they are currently receiving in the industry. And I don't know if everyone agrees with me on that, but the numbers don't lie. So maybe I am fulfilling a need for them. That is my hope.
Well, and you can't have a rodeo. Rodeos started on ranches, right? That's where rodeos began. There were the cowboys that decided they wanted to compete against each other, and there may have been a bet or two along the way. And you can't do a rodeo without cattle. So the next guest leads us into that conversation.
Yeah, we have Jennifer Green. She is the Manatee County Cattleman's Sweetheart. And I'm so excited to have you on the show today. Jennifer, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi, and you are on break at work, aren't you?
I am.
I'm so glad you could make it.
You're not
going
to get fired, are you?
No, I'm good.
Okay, good.
So what I want to do is take a minute to let you explain what the Cattlemen's Association is, what you stand for, what their motto is, and the goals of the company.
Alrighty. The Florida Cattlemen's Association, we're a statewide non-for-profit. We were established in 1934, and we're really there. We're devoted entirely to promoting and protecting like the ability of cattlemen, of our members, and to produce and market their products, so which is our beef. And we're really passionate about our industry and where we come from and what we do. Having, you know, Florida has had the longest cattle history, so it's pretty exciting for us. Our cattle industry is one of the 15 like largest in the United States, so we're all about that. It's really exciting for me as a sweetheart, just because we have had cattle the longest and we are one of the largest, so it's really exciting.
And you touched on something that I hear a lot for both industries. I hear, what do you mean there's rodeo in Florida? And then I hear, what do you mean there's cattle ranches in Florida? So, you know, people just do not realize how big, we do have a big cattle industry. What'd you say? We're number 15? Is that what you said?
Yeah, we're one of the largest 15. So actually here in Florida, we have four of the largest 10 cattle cow-calf operations in the United States. So four of the 10 is a pretty big deal for us here.
Right. And then we have Mrs. Strickland, who's in Manatee County as well. And she's the president of the U.S. Export. What's the actual name of her company that she's part of? United States Cattle Export.
Exports, yes.
Yeah, all over the world.
They're all, yes. So that's a big deal for us here, especially in Manatee County. It's they're a great family, great operation they have running just a little east of myself. So, but and they contribute huge to keeping Florida's history alive with the cattle that they have there. As of, I know, January of 2008, there were 1.7 million cattle just in the state of Florida. Nearly 1 million of those head were beef cows. So
wow. Wow, that's amazing. And then mm-hmm. real quick, for our Tampa listeners, Strickland Ranch, they have they don't own the restaurant, but Eulalie Restaurant in Tampa, they actually serve beef from Strickland Ranch, and it's supposed to be phenomenal. Mrs. Strickland keeps telling me I need to go there, and I haven't went yet, but I went to an event last night and literally had three people raving on that restaurant. So if you are a local, I urge you to try it.
Yeah, definitely. Even like the... there's like some chop shops around the restaurant, and I believe they have four different locations, and all their beef that they serve there is all Florida beef as well. So that's
very nice. Very nice. So tell us your ties to the cattle industry. Did you grow up in it? How are you tied into it?
I actually did not grow up in the cattle industry whatsoever. When I joined middle school, I just took an ag class. That was something they gave me. I didn't choose it. And I quickly fell in love. I joined FFA right away in the first few months. That September, I started raising a pig for the fair. So it's just something that I grew into loving, especially like with the different like leadership opportunities and such things as that. So it was really cool for me. And I went from that, raising pigs, to going into high school, raising steers and for our local fairs. So it was really cool for me. I joined Cattlemen's, then it keeps going. It's been a great opportunity for me as it just keeps going. Your opportunities are endless. So,
you know, I talk to, I think, more and more people that are in a position like yours and mine that, that didn't necessarily come from that industry. Like I didn't do rodeo and you didn't come from the cattle industry, but we're passionate about it. And I think that's great. That means that the message is getting out there and that we're reaching new people. And I think that's awesome. So
absolutely. And that's a lot of part of what I do myself as Sweetheart, because that's my job, is to share our industry and what we do. Just getting our goal across and in hopes of creating just a better tomorrow for not only our consumers, but also our producers, to understand what we go through to have a good quality product.
Yes. How can the local community or anyone in Florida support the Cattlemen's Association? Do you need to have cattle to become a member? How does that work?
Absolutely not. You can go on to the Florida Cattlemen's website, floridacattlemen.com or .org, sorry. And you'll be able to see if your local county has a association. Not for a majority of Florida, most of the counties do. So you can just go on there and you can look and see, and it'll be able to tell you. Then you can, it'll give you a contact information, who you can get in contact to for that county. You can get into their local, the county, or you can find their state director, and just get in contact with them, and they'll be able to share a wealth of knowledge about, you know, meetings and such different things that the other counties do.
Love it. Okay.
But you absolutely do not have to be a part.
Okay, and I'll tell you a little something. I used to be a member, and then I was like, dang, I don't have any cows. I really feel like I'm phony, so I dropped out. But I wanted to support them. So I just need to...
You're a cattle faker.
Yeah, so I wanted to support it because when I was growing up, my dad was a member, and my uncle Johnny was a member, and so I went to a lot of the cattlemen stuff, and I joined, I don't know how many years ago it was, and then I'm like, oh, I felt like a fake.
I bet you the barbecue, I gotta ask Jennifer, the barbecues are really good, aren't they?
They are, absolutely. I figured. They have a lot of good cooks.
I figured, and the meat is fresh. You don't worry about that.
It is, always. So, and it's, you know, it's surely a pride for these cattlemen to be able to share that with others and let other people see what they do on a daily basis.
All right, well, I'm throwing this out there, okay? If I've always wanted to be a chili cook-off judge, so if they have a chili cook-off, keep me in mind, okay?
They do it at Silver Spurs Arena. There's like for our ranch rodeo every year, they do like different events, and Chili was a part of it one year. So,
well, if they need a guest judge, you let them know, okay? I'll come down.
All righty. All right. I will definitely keep you in mind.
All right, good. I always wanted to do that. I love chili. Not the vegetarian kind either. I like the kind with the meat in it. It just
yeah, that's the way to go. That's the only way to go.
Yeah, I don't vegetables in a chili. Who wants that?
You have to bring plenty of Tums with you, Glenn.
Yes. Exactly. You know what? You know how all those taste testers on the shows, you know, the judges on TV on Food Network, they always take these teeny wee little bites. I'd be there shoveling it in, and then
oh yeah,
you know, it's like
oh goodness. So talking about food, the Manatee County Cattlemen's Association, they have their own booth at our local fair, and it is the best, in my opinion, the best food at the fair, especially their hamburgers. I can't go to the fair without having their hamburgers. So let's talk a little bit about the fair and the cattlemen's involvement and what you are there a lot. You have a lot of responsibilities. So tell us about all of that.
Well, our fair for Manatee County it's pretty much 14 days long. By the time you bring hogs in the first day before the fair even opens, the kids are there 2 days before the fair even ever opens, all the way until the very last day of the horse show going on day number 14. So there's a wide range of activities for the kids to go to. Like you mentioned, our Manatee County booth, which the meat from there is actual from a local butcher shop. So it's neat for those people to be able to see that, you know, this is local beef that we're supplying to our own fair. But back to the fair, you have your hogs going in and dairy, and then you have the next week will be your steers and heifers together. So, but every night is jam-packed full of different events going on between the kids. They are always busy. It's always for something for people to come and see each and every night. It's a cool opportunity to have it right there at the fair. It's right off the midway, so it attracts a lot of attention. People get to come in and see these kids who take pride and joy in their projects that they raise all year. Our kids in Manatee County are super proud of it. A lot of our kids who had steers this year had county calves, which is great for our county to be able to, you know, give back to those ranchers. And, you know, those ranchers get to come to the county shows and be able to see those kids show those animals. So it's a real good opportunity.
And what are your responsibilities during those 2 weeks? You're there in the show ring every night. So what are you supposed to be doing?
I am. I'm there. We're handing out ribbons. I'm communicating between the kids and the judge while the kids are in the ring. helping kids get lined up, making sure kids are coming back for their classes and their order. Even had to wrangle a few heifers last week, which was a blast from showing myself. So makes me miss it a lot. But a majority of the time I am in the ring. I know for hogs, I work the back pen for the show night, just wherever they need someone, I'm there.
And then on sell day, you are in, I don't know how many photos. Your cheeks must hold hurt on, by the cut, end of the day.
Hold it right there. Hey, Heather, you need to unplug your mic and plug it back in. She got a new Mac, and unfortunately, that's what happens to Macs about halfway through the show. So just unplug the USB and then just plug it back in.
Okay.
This happens every time with somebody on a Mac. I don't know why. Macs are supposed to be the wonderful thing. Oh, you can hear her trying to plug it back in.
Well, am I good?
Yeah, you're good. Go ahead.
Okay.
There you go.
I learned something.
Yeah. It's really cool for us because our fair is so long. We have two different sales instead of all being one. So it's a long day. It makes for a very long day for me. We had 157 hogs, and every kid gets two pictures and making sure buyers are in the pictures and pigs are positioned correctly. Our fair does buyer's plaques for their buyers.
How difficult is it to be a pig photographer?
pretty hard.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, how do you get their little ears up? Do you, like, have to throw them little treats?
No, they put a little thing of food out, and so they go straight to the, hopefully, you're hoping they go to the feed, and they stand there really pretty and eat.
What do you do for a living? I photograph pigs. Do you get that job if you're like on the low totem pole of photographers, or is that something you aspire to? I guess it depends how much you can get for the shots.
Guy takes really good pictures. I had a blast working the two weekends with him. We had to keep ourselves entertained quite a bit. The hog sale, the first weekend started at 2 o'clock, and we didn't finish till 7:30.
All right, Heather, your goal for the next show is to get a pig photographer on. I want to talk to a pig photographer.
I imagine that's not all he photographs, but but I will say he does do a great job because we've bought a couple hogs over the last couple of years, and I have a couple photos, and by Saturday I am so exhausted, like I do not want to be in a photo, but they turn out half good.
You know what? He probably makes a fortune. He probably makes more than the other photographers who aren't taking pictures of cows and pigs. You know, right?
So I missed the steer sale. I was out of town. I was in Phoenix, Arizona, but I heard that we had an amazing record sell on a steer, and it was $10,000, correct?
Well, it was $10 and her per pound. So it ended up coming out to $12,000.
Whoa.
Just amazing.
Yep, that one hog.
First of all, that's a 1,200-pound steer.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And that was a record. Yep.
It was. And she placed first in her class. Her name's Alyssa Ruggio. She's a senior at Lakewood Ranch High School. She is very active in their FFA. She's also a member of our Cattlemen's Association here in Manatee County has a 4-H club. So a lot of our kids who are in cattlemen show through our junior cattlemen 4-H club at the fair. And so she's one of those, but she's a very active student, great student, a senior looking to go to college. So it's really neat that people come and support our youth like they do. And these people come back year after year after year. I started showing 10 years ago almost, and the same buyers are still coming back. And it's great to see it come full circle for me, from going from showing to sending buyers letters to being that person who's standing there taking those pictures with those buyers, being able to thank each and every one of them individually for coming out and supporting these kids year after year.
So absolutely. They are amazing, and they support our kids in Manatee County. It is phenomenal. I think we have a very strong support system for our youth, and through 4-H and FFA and the cattlemen. So yeah, I agree. And before we wrap up, one of my goals with my show is to, you know, of course it's all about rodeo, but I love agriculture, as do you. And I want to make sure that I am advocating for that as well. And that's one of the reasons I wanted you on here. But can you speak to the fact that there are strong ties to both the rodeo and the agricultural industry? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are right there between agriculture and especially the cattle industry, and rodeo go hand in hand without no doubt. Without cattle, some of the events for, you know, the rodeo would not happen. So, you know, we're really close about that. It's really cool for rodeo because they really elevate the cowboys' skills that these cowboys still use on day-to-day basis. These, you know, something like team roping. These people are going out, these cattlemen are going out and having to rope cattle every day. So things like that, tie-down roping, they're having to use those exercises every day. So rodeo just takes it to the next level for these, you know, fans and supporters to be able to see that. But that's what rodeo is all about. So, and it's, you know, it's really cool because here in Florida, they can rodeo all year. It was 37 degrees past week and they were still rodeoing. You know, they were still having events. So it's one thing, you know, they're not getting snowed out down here.
Right, right.
And we even have, I mean, we have in Kissimmee, we have the Silver Spurs Rodeo, which is one of the largest in the East, for their rodeo in February and in June. And then we have the Arcadia Rodeo, which is the oldest in the state of Florida. So it's really neat to have those right here in our backyard for those people to come down and see what we're about down here.
Yes, and again, we have the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo 2 coming in April. So there are so many opportunities for
rodeo.
It
was interesting, guys. I took a look at the 7 things to do when you visit Kissimmee. And number one on it was the Ram Rodeo. Number two was Walt Disney World. So so there you go.
Everybody thinks Florida and they think Mickey Mouse. Well, it's
yeah,
not
they think
just
Disney
Mickey
World.
Mouse.
Well, you know, and there's other things to do too. Have you ever? I have never. Jennifer and I have lived here now 3 years, and we've never done an airboat ride. I got to do that.
Wow, you have to. It's a good opportunity, but yeah, definitely to visit Kissimmee. I mean, if you're going to come to Kissimmee, you might as well come to it while there's a rodeo here. Take your vacation and come while there's a rodeo. I met some awesome people. I went last year to the Ram Circuit Finals. And I actually got to meet Mark and Laura Kessler, who are in charge of the Miss Rodeo Silver Spurs Girls. They're involved with Miss Rodeo Florida, and they're also involved with the Miss Rodeo America pageant. So I got to meet them, and I had an awesome opportunity to go in June and watch their pageant and what they do. And that was kind of an eye-opener for me, to be able to see how much alike our rodeo girls are, as well as our sweethearts. We're doing the same thing for, you know, the same purpose.
Yes, absolutely. And I believe you and I met at that same rodeo, correct?
We did. It was an awesome off time.
Yes, had a great time. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on the show and helping me educate everyone on Florida and Manatee County's awesome cattle and agricultural industry. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. I truly appreciate it. It means a lot to be able to get our word out there and share what we do.
Well, you have a great day, and I know I will see you soon.
All righty. Thank you, Heather.
Bye, Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Well, she's well-spoken, my goodness.
Oh, yes. Yeah. She's great. She's great. I did. I met her at that Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo, and she was just a joy to be around. And then to go to our fair this past couple of weeks ago and spent the week every night she was there, and my girls got to meet her and be around her. So she's really cool. I really, really like her.
Well, thank you, Heather, for putting this show together today. Where can people find more information and how all the different places? By the way, I want to let you know that I did a selfie on Instagram while you were talking.
Yay!
So it's out there now, and I already have comments on it. We have people liking Horse Radio there on Instagram. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Very good. And you can find Women in Rodeo at womeninrodeo.com or Instagram, of course, Facebook, and Twitter.
That's terrific. Oh, and here I'm looking. There's people that have posted pictures of our logo on Instagram. Who knew? I didn't know.
Yeah, I've been using hashtag horses in the morning and Horse Radio Network. I've been posting.
Do you know the hashtag Horse Radio was just commented on by one of our auditors in the auditor's Facebook room? That the hashtag Horse Radio is being used by that Mongolian band that we found. There's a band, I'm not kidding, an actual musical band in the steppes of Mongolia that's called Horse Radio.
And wow.
I thought from
Isn't
first.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So we thought
so
at first.
That's why you need to use Horse Radio Network.
When we found them, we were like, oh man, we're going to have trouble. We'll get our lawyers after them. And then I discovered they were a band in Mongolia. So it was like, okay, well, we're not going to be able to do much about that, are we?
Oh, well, what can
I don't know if they're a very popular band in Mongolia. We tried to listen to their music, and it's very Mongolian. Let's just put it that way. And they said they were a rock band, and we were like, wow, that's rock is different there. So I don't know if any of them speak English. You know, if we can have somebody from the Mongolian rock band, a Horse Radio, on or not, but.
I don't know. Let me know if you get them.
All right. Well, yeah. We'll have them on your show. You can try and talk to them.
Okay. Great.
All right. Good. And of course, you can follow all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com. Our app is the easiest way to listen to the recorded version of this show. Just go to Horse Radio Network on iOS or Android and search, and it's free. It's easy to download. It's the simplest way to listen. Also, tomorrow, Jamie will be back. It's our Wednesday episode. And then on Thursday, it's Horse Husbands. Yep, the Horse Husbands are back. One of the most popular episodes we do every month because all the women listen in to hear what we're saying about them. And that's coming up on Thursday as well. Well, thank you so much, Heather.
It was great. Had a great time.
All right. We'll see you soon. Take care, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.